This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm John Idstein. In the 1859 edition of The Young Housekeeper's Friend, a certain Mrs. Cornelius writes, "However improbable it may seem, the health of many a professional man is undermined and his usefulness curtailed, if not sacrificed, because he habitually eats bad bread." That tasty tidbit is one of many pieces of historical advice that can be found in Greg Patton's new cookbook, Baking in America. The book traces the roots of many of America's favorite baked goods back to their original recipes, Boston cream pie, cupcakes, cheesecake. You get the picture. Mr. Patton, an accomplished baker and author, joins us from the studios of member station KUFM in Missoula, Montana. Welcome to the program.
Hi, nice to be here.
What made you decide to take on this historical endeavor?
Well, I looked at all the things that we bake, and I asked myself the question, where did all of this come from? And it turns out that the very first American cookbook written by an American and published in America is a book called American Cookery, written by Amelia Simmons, published in 1796. And I looked at what she had presented in 1796, and I said, my gosh, here is the blueprint. This is our starting point.
Well, give us a couple of specific recipes from that book that you think are important.
I would say apple pie. Pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie, by the way, which we think of as really being quintessentially American, is really British in origin. They actually had pumpkin-like gourds in England, and they were making pumpkin pie before they came over here. But when they came over here, they didn't have the same gourds. They had our American pumpkins, and so it was adapted to that.
Now, the recipes that you present in this cookbook aren't the original recipes that you found. Why not?
Because nothing is the same today. You know, the sugar isn't the same, and the flour wasn't as pure. The flour in the 1800s would more than likely contain, you know, traces of bran and traces of wheat germ, so it wouldn't be the pure white flour. Frankly, I think that you can make a better cake today than you could then, just because the flour... I think our flours are better, even though people may complain saying, oh, but they're less pure and all of that. But I don't think that that's important. I think that the flours today with, you know, no bran and no wheat germ, but the pure gluten that can be activated, for example, will make a better cake for you.
You came upon a number of recipes that you thought looked very good but became extinct. What happened to those recipes?
They disappeared, which, you know, this happens to recipes. But there were so many of them that looked so good on paper to me that I wondered why they went extinct. And I'll just name a few. One was called Boston Cream Cakes. This is basically a cream puff with just an absolutely delicious custard filling, and I wondered why this had disappeared. And actually, cream puffs have not disappeared, but the name Boston Cream Cakes has. And I wanted to recreate Boston Cream Cakes in all its glory. And I think I was successful in doing that by reproducing also the incredibly rich custard that came along with it.
There's another cake that apparently has gone out of style, and it's called Election Cake. Tell us about Election Cake.
Election Cake is an enriched yeast bread that goes back to the 1600s. It was served at all kinds of public gatherings. And the way they used to bake election cake in the old days is something to behold. And Amelia Simmons has a recipe for it. If you don't mind, I really would like to,
sure,
to read it.
Please do.
Just to show you how the quantity of this is amazing. And this would have to have been baked in a wood-fired brick oven, and it would have to be cast free-form on the floor. Just listen to this. 30 quarts of flour, 10 pounds butter, 14 pounds of sugar, 12 pounds of raisins, 3 dozen eggs, 1 pint of wine, 1 quart of brandy, 4 ounces of cinnamon, 4 ounces of fine coriander seed, that means pounded, in a mortar and pestle, 3 ounces of ground allspice. And then she says, wet the flour with milk to the consistency of bread overnight, adding 1 quart of yeast. In the old days, you know, we didn't have Fleischmann's yeast that we could just run out and use. We had to make our own. And then you let this mixture stand, you know, overnight. Then the next morning, work the butter and the sugar together for half an hour, which will render the cake much lighter and whiter. Absolutely true. And when it has risen light, work in every other ingredient except the plums, which are the raisins, which work in when going into the oven.
You know, it may have disappeared because it got embedded in some campaign finance reform law. With that point.
Wouldn't that be something?
That's probably what happened.
But don't you just admire the fortitude of these women?
It's amazing.
Exactly. But they had to do it.
Well, now, here's an extremely serious question. How do you explain the travesty of the Twinkie?
Oh, how do we get to the Twinkie?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how did we get to the cross sandwich? I mean, it is this incredible American penchant for invention and modification. I mean, it happens all the time. Look at what happened to pizza. You know, pizza is a very simple thing, a thin crust with a little bit of tomato, maybe a little bit of cheese. Now you have this 4-pound extravaganza, you know, with a pound of cheese, a pound of meat, a pound of everything on a crust that is totally unable to support this burden that's been put on it. I think the Twinkie, I mean, there's certain things that are inevitable. I mean, it's the American way. And I have to say, I love it. I really love it. I may not like the result, but I love the spirit behind it.
Greg Patton, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Greg Patton is the author of Baking in America. He joined us from Missoula, Montana. And you'll find some of the recipes we've discussed on our website, npr.org.